love hearing you in the morning. Thank you so much. And you know, it's going to be one of those fabulous days. It's going to be sunny. The high low was between 84 and 89. Not quite hitting 90 like yesterday. Eastern winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. That's for the daytime. For the nighttime, we've got some partly cloudy sunny situations, isolated showers at noon, but mostly after midnight. Lows about 76, northeasterlies around 10, and a chance of rain about 20%. Now, tomorrow, if you're going to go out and play around, we've got mostly some isolated showers in the morning, highs between 83 and 88. So temperatures going down just a little bit. That's because the northeasterlies, I think, are still with us. About 10 miles per hour, chance of rain about 20%, and Sunday night, partly cloudy and isolated showers after midnight as well. Monday. Mostly sunny, isolated showers in the morning, high 85. So we're getting closer to comfort levels. Eastern is 10 to 15. Chance of rain again, 20%. And Monday night, partly cloudy, isolated showers after midnight, and the low is about 75. The northeasterlies really saving us, because where do they cool things off? If you're going out to play a round of golf, or you'd like to know where there's a tee time for you, Volcano. She's not a veteran. Great view than she is. But right now you can play on the Volcano course, 8:32, 9:24, 10:48. And I should say that when you're playing golf, you're far enough away from the fountain lava, you know, but you can see it, and it's really quite spectacular. McIlroy was an 8:40, a 9:22, a 10:36, and the Bluebirds, they're on the course. We've also got a tee time for you at Play Pool Bay. There's a 9:50, a 10:30, and a noon. We've got the Gamblers. Gamblers, they all hit the sweet spot every time. They're on the Kauai Lagoons golf course. If you'd like to be on that golf course, there's an 8:30 and a 10:10. Call them now. Call at Kalao'au. There's an 8:48 and a 9:42. Hawaii Kai, 8:36 and 10:02. Turtle Bay, 9:56, 9:32, 10:52. The Sand Hours are on the golf course. William Island Golf Course, or Country Club, I should say, 8:30, 9:30, 10:08. Ava Beach Golf Club. We've got a 9:06, a 10:58, and 11:10. That's where the surf girls are on the course. May you all hit the sweet spot of these young ladies. And then we have an 8:40 and a 9:10. There's an 11 o'clock as well. Wailoa Gold, 8:32, 9:26 on Maui, and that's a 10:08 as well. That's Wailoa Gold. Emerald Course, 8:40 and a 9:28. Blue Course, 9:08. Maui Nui, there's an 8:38, a 9:22, and a 10 o'clock. And now, let's bring in to the clubhouse. A woman, host and executive producer of 5 clubs on Golf Channel, Sirius XM, Signature Golf Group, and Peter Millar. I got to know Gary Williams by watching his morning drive show on Golf Channel, the first morning golf talk show on television that always featured fabulous guests. Well, today, Gary Williams, right here, is my fabulous guest. Hey, Gary, welcome to the clubhouse.
Danielle, it's always a pleasure, extra special when we get to talk about a major championship. Hope you're well. Looking forward to the conversation.
Absolutely. It seems like it's been a very, very long time since we've had a conversation. So I was like trying to find everything I could possibly find to talk to you about. I needed to kind of get into just a little bit. You went from teaching professional at Ridgewood Golf Course, Country Club, to executive producer at a Fortune 500 company, and then you went into TV and radio and golf. I mean, I assume since you started playing golf when you were, 6 years old, that it was a very comfortable transition.
It was. I think, I'm one of countless examples that life is not linear. And, I tried different things. It wasn't that I disliked them. It's that I didn't think that I would be totally fulfilled and stimulated for a career doing the things that I tried. But what I got out of all of them were things that I apply today to what I do now. And, you know, what I get to do now is what I love most, which is, you know, specifically talking about the game of golf. But I've always been very interested in, you know, the mechanics of doing radio and television.
Yeah.
And, you know, so that was, you know, I'm very fortunate. And, again, you know, you and I talking golf, being up here at Shinnecock, you know, we sit here and we cover major championship. What do you think we do when we go back to these rental houses? We talk golf. It's what we do.
Truly. Now, just to make it clear to folks, you have to tell us why you're a host of 5 clubs. Is that golf?
Yeah, so, yeah, 5 clubs. You know, when we created this media platform, you know, there were 2 things that were very I was very sensitive to and I was adamant about. One was that the name, whatever the name was going to be, could not be shortened, because that's what we do with everything now. We turn people's names into acronyms, or we call them by their initials. So that was one thing that I was hopeful to do. And then the other thing was I wanted the name to be reflective of an appreciation for the game that I get to cover. And so 5 clubs is an homage to the original 5 clubs that made up the construct of the United States Golf Association in 1894, Shinnecock being one of them. So 2 of the 5 are in the U.S. Open Championship rotation, the Country Club at Brookline being another one. Chicago Golf Club has incredible history, obviously, Newport Country Club, and then St. Andrews, which is on the Hudson River in New York. So those are the 5 clubs. And so, you know, we just, like they did in 1894, they were like, let's figure out a way to make a contribution to the game. They've made a very significant one. I'm just trying to make a modest one.
Well, you do. You really bring golf to the fans, and I love that about you. People listen to you and respect your opinion. I'm going to do a quick leaderboard, and I don't know if, you know, this was 10 minutes or 12 minutes ago. Things could have changed. What's in front of me now is Wyndham Clark is 7 under. Sam Stevens, 3 under with Tom Kim, as well as Matthew Fitzpatrick and Xander Schauffele. Colin Morikawa is 2 under. And then we've got Justin Thomas, Harry Liggins, Sam Burns, and Sahith Tagala at 1 under. Now, I do have to ask you, what is about Shinnecock that makes it just so difficult, as people tell me it is?
It's the persistent winds, which is the golf course's greatest defense. And you couple that with the routing of the golf course. There's no wind that any player can get comfortable in, because there's really the opening stretch of holes. One is angled slightly different than 2, but 2 and 3 really are the only 2 holes that you play on the golf course in succession that run in the same direction. So when you have persistent winds that prevail out of the south, which you know, is generally, you know, kind of down and off the left off the first hole, there are 3 triangular elements to the design of the golf course. So when you hit those triangles, the first one you hit, it's 4, 5, and 6. And what I mean by that is that you play in one direction and then turn, you know, essentially 45 to 55 degrees to play the 5th, and then you do the same thing again on the 6th. So those are 3 distinctly different wind directions you're playing holes in. And then that happens again twice on the back 9. So you couple all of that, and then the last element is the green complexes themselves are very, very challenging. There's a ton of contour to all of them. And there's a lot of crowning to the edges of these greens, very similar to Pinehurst number 2, that would kind of they're like upside down frying pans. But in the middle of that frying pan is a lot of rumples and wrinkles. So it's not flat in the middle, but it's crowned at the edge.
Wow.
So all those elements together, good luck.
Is that why Shinnecock rewards patience more than a fast start?
Yeah, that's a good point. Yes, I think so, because, you know, what all players, regardless of level, want is some modest level of comfort. you and I don't experience a great deal. Now, our expectations are low. The best players in the world, they don't want to be discomforted. They want to know, they want to have as much control as they can over as many things as they can. You can't control elements. And the absence of being able to do that there makes this a very challenging golf course.
I gotcha. In fact, I kind of learned that and felt that, if you can say that I felt something while watching the video. I was watching the video that you have online of a walk on the first fairway. And frankly, I got tired just watching you walking. That is some wide open space.
It is. It is. And that is, you know, just to give the listeners an idea of why the golf course has so much width, that was the original intent of William Flynn, because he was abundantly aware of where they were. They're on the South Fork of the east end of Long Island. You are surrounded by Peconic Bay, which is to the north as you play out, and then as you play in the last hole only, because you're kind of moving in all these different directions, you're moving toward the south in the Atlantic Ocean. So he knew that. So he made the golf course very wide in its playing corridors, and they Bill Kroer and Ben Crenshaw, who did the plantation course there at Kapalua, which has enormous width to it, and it's incumbent upon that golf course to experience what it does, which is a great degree of wind with a lot of elevation change. And they went in there, Bill and Ben went in there back in 2012 and restored it to what William Flynn intended. And right before the 2018 U.S. Open, I'll tell you what happened. Aaron Hills, where the scoring was very, very low and the golf course was wide, wide open. But that the design of the golf course is very different from Shinnecock, but the USGA, they didn't necessarily panic. They said, you know what, we're not doing this. So they tightened up the corridors, and then after that, and in the subsequent years until now, they said, and the club, in concert with the club, they said, we want Shinnecock to play like Shinnecock, and that is why it is the way that it is.
And that's perfect. And so, exactly. So Shinnecock is like some of the courses in Europe, like in England. Is it that?
Yeah, it is. The one thing that is different is that you know, the great lengths of the British Isles don't have a lot of false fronts to their greens, meaning there is putting surface, but if you don't hit the ball deep enough into the green, the ball is going to roll back off the putting surface. You don't see that in the British Isles. There is, it's fairly level, and that's why the ground is used so much over there. And the other difference is the turf conditions. While there is a lot of fescue on this property, there's a lot of different grasses in the fairways at Shinnecock, and the greens are 95% poana. That's not the turf conditions that you find in the British Isles, which are very, very tight and very, very hard. This is a firm golf course that they've softened modestly, so it gives that appearance, but in actuality, it does not play entirely like a British links at all.
Wow. I found this width at Shinnecock Hills isn't as simple as wider fairways. Ben Crenshaw, on how restoring William Flynn's original vision brought back strategic options, alternate routes, architectural intent that makes Shinnecock one of golf's greatest tests. What is an equivalent great test on the other side of the Atlantic?
You know, I have enormous affection for a lot of places over there. And, you know, I think that if I was going to start to kind of give the roll call, what I'm going to be giving you is the Open Championship Rota in large measure. Now, Muirfield in Scotland, and the last time they had the Open Championship was 2013 when Phil Mickelson won. That is where Jack Nicklaus completed the career Grand Slam for the first of what would be three times, but he did it for the first time in 1966. Muirfield is my favorite place, and Muirfield is there's something sublime about being there. You're right in Gullen. It is a golfy town. There's golf all around you. North Berwick is just down the street, as is Gullen 1, 2, and 3. Muirfield is my favorite, but if I had to give you a comp, so to speak, I think it's a hybrid between, and again, Royal Portrush has more, just a lot more tilt and roll to the land. But I think that the combination of Royal Portrush and to a degree Royal County Down, which is in Newcastle, Northern Ireland, those two golf courses, which are both in Northern Ireland, are, I think, and again, there's drama there. It's an amazing setting at both of them. You are bumping up against a very large body of water. I would say Portrush. There are similarities in Royal County Down.
Excellent. Your descriptions are perfect. It makes me want to go now. Just to explain.
Exactly. Let's go.
Yeah. Okay, so the USJ, are they just mean-spirited? What makes the US Open different than any other major?
You know, Danielle, I was a little boy when I went to my first U.S. Open, and it was 1980, and it was in the state of New Jersey where I grew up, and it was Jack Nicklaus at 40 winning at Baltusrol. And so I grew up with, an incredible love for the championship. And there are a couple things that still hold on today. It's the one major that I think the general public is very sensitive to what the winning total is and what the scores are.
Mm.
You do not get wrapped up in what people shoot at Augusta National or wherever the PGA is or the Open Championship. We just don't.
Yeah.
But here it's like, oh my, that score is too low. And that's part of it, is that the USGA, this goes back to a great, a great quote from Sadie Tatum in 1974 at Wingfoot, when it was called The Massacre at Wingfoot by a great writer, Dick Schaap. And that was when Hale Irwin, won the championship at 7 over par. And somebody asked Sandy Tatum, who is the executive director of the USGA, are you trying to embarrass these guys? And he said, are you trying to embarrass the best players? Was the question. His answer was, no, we're trying to identify them.
Uh-huh.
And so there is a mantra and a persona of not outplay, but outlast. Outlast everybody else. And that's how I think of the U.S. Open.
Yeah, that's the patience part.
Yes.
So I like this one. Gary Williams says, since you're out of the U.S. Open after Thursday, history says otherwise. How is it, Keith Gleason was T20 after round one. Corey Pavin was 6 shots back. Brooks Koepka, 6 shots back. All three, he said, became champions. That's incredible. How is that?
Yeah, it's. I'll tell you what they did is all of those players shot sub-70 rounds on day two. So, the closest anybody was of the four that have been held there in the last 40 years was a tie for 20th. Two of the guys who went on to win were tied 46th after day one. But all four of them, like I said, shot rounds in the 60s to get themselves close. Two of them actually jumped up to being in a tie for fourth to start the weekend. The one thing I would say, Danielle, about the leaderboard is we still have a couple of hours until the last groups tee off. It will not be until 3:45 Eastern time. So you'll actually get to watch some bona fide afternoon golf.
Wow.
On the islands there in Hawaii. Is that if you go back to the PGA, if somebody was 7 shots back, which is what Rory and Scottie Scheffler are, and they're in a tie for 11th, 7 shots back at the PGA would have been a tie for 60th, because that's how bunched up that leaderboard was. It was. This one, that's not the case. Mm. And I always say to people who ask me about, can so-and-so come back from such a big distance, and I say, it is not the distance, it's the number of hurdles, and those hurdles are players. So Scottie Scheffler and Rory McIlroy know they only have, 9 guys between them and Wyndham Clark, not 40.
Yeah.
So I think it's plausible that one or both of them could have a chance going into tomorrow.
That's fantastic. I thank you so much. I do have to ask one final question. This is from Jay Billis. I'm not sure that I'm pronouncing
yes.
And he said, a good shot isn't of much use. It is the toughest test in golf.
Now, Jay Billis is, you know, the preeminent college basketball analyst in the country and really the world. And he's a very passionate golfer. By the way, he made his first hole in one on the plantation course at Kapalua. Yes. And he's so sinister. The next time we played golf together, he brought the pin flag that he bought in the pro shop and had his caddy apply it to the flag on the 18th hole of the course we were playing. And as we were walking up to the green, I'm like, what is that flag? And that's how demented he is. But he is right. Back to his quote, good shots may not be good enough. You got to hit exacting, precise, with total commitment and conviction types of shots, particularly, Danielle, when the wind is blowing 20 miles an hour, because if that ball is not coming out of the center of the face, it's compromised. What happens to compromised golf balls in the air when it's windy? They're blowing very well off of line. This is going to be a fascinating day.
I can't wait to turn on the TV. Gary Williams, host and executive producer, Five Clubs on Golf Channel, Sirius XM, Signature Golf Group, Peter Millar. Thank you for being inside the clubhouse with me. Always a pleasure talking with you.
Danielle, it's always my pleasure. Aloha to you and all of the listeners. Thank you.
Thank you. Aloha. We're coming back. Sid O'Keefe in the clubhouse. My name is Danielle Tucker. This is the Golf Club. Raining. I mean, we need rain. You know, we're in the middle of the Pacific Ocean. We need water. But a lot of people are still recovering from the torrential rains that we had. And Aloha Power Equipment's The Rain Sale features Honda generators, pumps, and chainsaws, and weed whackers, and trimmers, and a whole lot more. It's 25% off. Still, they have service and parts and accessories for every rider, from home to commercial-sized mullet, blowet, baggett, and gun. What's a commercial-sized one? Those are those gigantic ones you see along the freeway. Get what you need at Aloha Power Equipment, EVA. It's right next to Costco's gas station in EVA. And in Waipahoo.
You call when you want home appliances and working Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services located at 540 Lagoon Drive across from JL Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-736-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Polish your swing with a Newcomb golf driving range located at IAO. Stop by to warm up before your round or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newcomb Cafe and check out the Assal Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newcomb driving range operated by the Casey McComb Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun.
The clubhouse. Sid is going to be joining us. I just wanted to give you an update on the major LPGA Classic. Lexi Thompson, you may have heard this already, withdrew from the LPGA Classic, her favorite event of the year. hip pain is the problem. And she said, it's hard to put into words just how disappointed I am to have to withdraw from this week. That's what she wrote on her Instagram post. She's won that tournament. And back in 2015, she finished T4 and T2 in the past two editions. And Ann Chen replaced her with the field, keeping it balanced. The leaderboard through two, I just needed to say, Hawaii's Allison Corpulence is T16, Jennifer Kupcho's at T10, USA's Jenny Berry at T6, YJ Yang Chandler is leading 6 under through round two. All of a sudden her first name went right at it. She out of Scotland. She's also at 6 under. Just a really great leaderboard, and I'm looking forward to seeing some on TV. And I'm looking forward to talking with Sid Okino, head golf professional pro at Kalaeau. Welcome into the clubhouse.
Good morning, Danielle.
Good morning. You were 14 back in some time ago. You made headlines. You became one of the youngest golfers to ever play in the U.S. Open. 14. Were you just a little overwhelmed by all of the stuff that you saw when you got there?
It was such a crazy experience. I mean, I can still remember it very vividly. That was just like, they just treat you like royalty when you're playing in the U.S. Open.
Wow, that is so cool. So when you came back and played a regular tournament, was there a disappointment?
It was like, I guess, like expectation versus reality, you know? I always tell people, like, this one story where I just remember having a conversation with my parents saying, like, oh, I feel like eating a cookie right now. And we were just standing around talking to each other, and I turned around, and there was this guy that had a platter of, like, 6 or 7 different flavors of cookies, and I'm like, what is going on right now? Like, nothing to do with golf, but I was like, wow, this is crazy. I wasn't even trying to ask anybody. I was just having a conversation with my parents.
And the silver platter with the cookies arrives. Wow. Now that's what I call radar. Something. I would get a little spoiled by that kind of taking care of their players. Now, you came back to Hawaii, and I know you played professionally. The Step Up Tour in Japan, did you go from going to the U.S. Open to Japan?
Yeah, I mean, so after that, I played college at University of Washington, and then right after I graduated in June of 2015, and then that same month, I think, or maybe it was July, I ended up going straight to Japan of that same year, and then just tried to qualify for the tours. I was able to play on their lower tour, which is kind of like their Epson Tour equivalent of Step Up Tour in Japan for a couple of years. Stayed out there for pretty much until COVID, and then once COVID hit, kind of assigned to come home.
You know, COVID did so much to change everybody's lifeline. You know, I'm on this path, but oops, nope, that's not going to work anymore.
Right.
And so did you start teaching privately, like giving people lessons on a golf course? How did you get into pro at Kalaeau? Such a cool golf course.
I mean, Ed was kind of just my lifeline for that golf business, I should say. I didn't really have the intention of really getting into the business at all because I was always like, I'm a golfer. I'm not like, I don't know what the business of golf is. But I think that first year of COVID, when golf courses were still operating just at a very limited range, Ed just said, hey, if you want to work at Pearl for a couple days, you can still practice or you can do what you need to do to prep. Because I was still intending on going back to Japan at that time. So that's how I kind of started. I started just as a cart girl at Pearl. Just working a couple days and getting to practice. And then he kind of mentioned that HPU, they have a team. If you want to come out, practice with the girls, see how that is. So I went out with them. And then kind of from there, it just built up to another year of COVID, and that's when I decided that I wasn't going to go back to Japan. And then everything kind of just, like, fast forward really quickly, I should say. I went from cart girl to just, oh, try to be an assistant. I'm like, oh, I don't know about that, but okay, let's try that. And then before you knew it, I was like, oh, okay, here you go, head throw. And I'm like, oh, great. Sounds good.
Yeah. I should say, yes. You're not just the head professional for Kalalau. You're also the assistant golf coach for the men's and women's programs at Hawaii Pacific University. Do they come to Puala Kalalau to train, if we want to be better in?
Yes, they're very lucky in that sense where they pretty much have free reign of Pearl at Kalalau. I mean, they can practice whenever they want. They can play whenever it's available. During season, that is our home course.
Oh, wow.
They're pretty much every day. A lot of them will go home if they're not from Hawaii during summer. So right now we just have a couple people that are still here. But yeah, they love it. You can get good at Pearl. You can pretty much get good anywhere on the island or in the States, pretty much.
I like what you just said there. If you can get good at Pearl at Kalalau, you can be good on just about any other golf course. That's really wise words. And now, as the head golf professional, and also as, of course, the golf coach for the men's and women's programs at Hawaii Pacific University, do you have time to play just for fun for yourself?
not really. I know I went from golfing almost every day, and now I'm like, I can play once a month, but that's also a personal choice. I think if I have a day off now, I'm like, I need a break. I need to step away from a golf course for a day or so. So, yeah, I mean, I'll play once a month, maybe twice.
I totally understand that. You know, I mean, once you have a job in the field that you are in, then all of a sudden you get further and further away from the reason you were into that field to begin with. you're not doing X, and all of a sudden they like the work you're doing, so they want you to do Y and Z, but they don't really want you to go back to X because you loved X.
Right.
It's really interesting how life kind of moves you along, and you just have to roll with it. Now, what is really cool, of course, for us, we can come up and have a lesson with you. And Sivakino is the head golf professional at Puala Kalalau, and just the view alone from Aiea up on the, it's at this beautiful, beautiful, beautiful place, Puala Kalalau, the golf course, and it was built a long time ago, so it's really, it's the route, it's taken, so it's so nice, and the view that you have, not just of the Waianae Range, that west range, but you see all of Pearl in front of you, the harbor, and all the different things that are there, it's really quite spectacular. I would get distracted so easily. Whoops, can you help me with my swing? How do people get in touch with Sivakino to have you help them get better?
Right now, usually if people just call the pro shop or if they somehow or through emails, I don't really advertise too much only because time is a little limited at the moment just with giving lessons. But usually if anyone's interested, they'll call our pro shop and kind of get connected with me that way.
Yeah. Far out. And how long? 30 minutes? Is that an hour? How do you like to go?
It's usually about 45 minutes to an hour, just depending. If I usually have the younger kids, it's probably closer to that 45-minute time just because attention span is just a little less, you know. And so but I kind of feel it out. It just depends on each person. And you can kind of tell if, like, they want, like, a full hour, if a little less works for them as well.
That's great. And your dad got you into the game, right?
Yes, he did. He's really close to Casey Nakama, and that was my coach from the start to the end. Ended up being pretty much like my second father. But yeah, he and my dad were best friends growing up, and so that's how I started.
Yeah, and you're six. So, was there any, like, revolt? Like, I'm not going to go play golf. Or did you just not?
I know.
So did you just not go because it was with Dad?
I just remember one day my dad just, rather than going home after school or something, he started driving me out, and I didn't know where we were going. And then the next thing I know, it's like, oh, here, we're at a golf course. Just try it out. And I just remember being, I think I, like, obviously I went up and hit a golf ball, and I, like, it didn't really go anywhere. But I think I was just so determined to try and get the golf ball to go in the air. And I think from then, the obsession started. There are definitely some bumps along the way, but I'd say that initial just getting me into golf, it was never like, oh no, I'm not going to do this. It was like, oh, I'm gonna figure this out.
I understand. And especially at the age of six, there's something that happens, you know, and then teenage years come and everything goes backwards. But there's this time at six, seven, and eight where, you know, like, you're just this little person, but you know everything. You're a dynamo, you know. And it's a really cool time to be growing up at that age and get into the game. So let's say I haven't played golf in, 2 years, and I'm just so frustrated with my game because I can't seem to actually make solid contact on the first tee or any tee. You know, I'm just having a real hard time. Can you kind of walk us through how a lesson with you goes?
For that type of person, usually I always have them start with, like, the basics again, almost. Not, like, the basics in terms of grip, stance, and everything, but almost, like, start off with smaller swings. And a lot of times when you're working on contact, it has a lot to do with just your impact zone and what you're doing at the bottom to hit the ball. So I have them almost start with, like, chip swings, and then work their way up. Because once they can kind of figure out where the face is and the ball is when they're making smaller swings, then you can start to gradually work your way up to the first swings and there. And that's usually how that first lesson will go. It's just trying to get that contact back a little bit more consistently.
I like that. You know, the reason I say that is because one of my biggest problems is I always look up.
Yes. That is a tendency for a lot of people.
You know, so I didn't even make contact, but I think the ball is going to go, you know? So I got to look up. Which destroys my I think. I don't know. You know, I need to go and see, look, you know, and you can start slow with me.
Yeah.
And give me that word, yes, and short. I always think I have some sort of supernatural abilities to use this long shaft and make it go. You know, no, Danielle, you can't do that. Sidokino, our golf professional, Gloria Kalalau, thank you so much for being inside the clubhouse with us.
Thank you, Danielle.
Okay, we'll talk again. Okay?
All right.
Okay, I love that. We're coming back after a gentleman who's all about the Golf Heritage Society and keeping it alive after this. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
Come on.
autonomous functioning radio techniques to grab for a radio show. We need your peer, target audience, and video service. Let us help you. We have affordable rates, and it's easy to do. Just email rick@radiobellclub.com or call Rick at 808-220-9000. Reach the people like you who are too busy running your business. That's Rick at radiobellclub.com or call 808-220-9000.
It has been, but it's going to be sunny again, and the high between 84 and 89, the winds are out of the east, 10 to 15. I think you still, I should have asked it. I'll have to ask Ed Cagliava. The winds 10 to 15, you still want to keep the ball, I think, you know, kind of closer to the ground than shooting it high in the sky, but I don't know these things. That's not my forte. Tonight will be partly cloudy, isolated showers after midnight, below about 76, and the winds are northeasterlies about 10 overnight with a chance of rain about 20%. So about two times. Macaway, 9:22, 10:36. The Bluebirds, may you all hit the sweet spot every time on the beautiful Big Island of Hawaii. And the Gamblers are out on the golf course on Kauai at Kauai Lagoons as an 8:30 and a 10:10. And at Poker Bowl, there's a 9:50, a 10:30, and a noon. Nice later tea times for you. Always put sunscreen on, okay? Puna Kalai Au, there's a 9:42. Hawaii Kai has a 10:02. And Toro Bowl, a 9:32 and a 10:52. And the Sand Bowlers on the golf course. I just think of the Philippines, $3, yes. Okay, Royal Hawaiian Country Club, 8:30, 9:30, 10:08. At the Beach Golf Course, 9:06, 10:58, 11:10. The Surf Girls, number one at the sweet spot every time. And Bayview has an 8:40, a 9:10, and 11 o'clock. Kind of late for that 8:40. It'd be difficult to get there. But that's an hour away. You can drive. Waimea Gold, 9:26, 10:08. Emerald, 9:28. Blue Course is a 9:08. They're busy today. An 8:38, a Malibu, a 9:22, a Malibu, and a 10 o'clock as well. John Swinspelson, the Golf Heritage Society Ambassador and Executive Representative. Welcome into the clubhouse, John.
Good morning, Danielle. I've always wanted to be in the golf club with you, so it's good to be with you.
That is so cool. Yeah, well, what is, you know, the Golf Heritage Society? What is, how did that come about?
Well, you know, it's amazing. It started in 1970, and we're a nonprofit. We're all over the world and all over the country, of course. And it's a lot of people that are passionate about golf that want to just sort of learn from history, influence other people to enjoy the game of golf, and really benefit from all the things that are golf. And what's amazing with us, I call it Discover GHS. You're always such a good researcher. We'd love to have you as a member. And when people are wanting to find out about us, they go to golfheritage.org, and when you get on our expanded website, there's so much information about history, collecting, writing, authors, our library of Zooms, tremendous amount of information right there in our website to educate and hopefully inspire people.
I like that. So was this a Robert Kuntz's kind of vision, the traditions of the game of golf?
You know, we concentrate on the traditions, the legacy, what came before us. We honor those people that have set the path of success in golf. And we all feel that golf enhances life in so many different ways. Whether you're a professional golfer or an amateur, or if you write about golf, or you're one of our famous artists like Linda Hartow, or if you just read about golf. Many of our members are historians. And, you know, it's so nice. They're all over the country. So when I go to Pinehurst, or if I'm going to go to Marion or Oakmont or Lexington, Nashville, we have members in almost every community. And it's so nice to have a friend when you're traveling and visiting that's passionate about golf.
Yeah, absolutely. And today we have more than 1,000 members from 15 different countries. I think that is so cool that all those countries. Can you give us some of the countries that are, have members in the organization?
Well, we have a lot of United Kingdom. I'm really proud of Wayne Zing. I got to meet him 5 or 6 years ago. He sold me my first Hickory Golf Club. Wayne started the first golf museum in China. And when you're a member of our organization, you get quarterly magazines. And this month, they're talking about a book that Wayne Zing wrote about China, the early origins of golf. And he's such a sweet person trying to carry on the traditions of golf in China. And I was lucky enough that Alistair Johnson gave me a collection of books from Arnold Palmer. At Pinehurst a couple of years ago, I presented these books to Wayne, and he said to me, John, we don't have a library yet, but these books from Arnie, Alistair, from the Golf Heritage Society, will be the very first books in the China Museum of Golf. It's just amazing how it reached that. We have Australia, all over the world.
Yeah. Wow. Okay. When you talk about Arnold Palmer, did you meet Arnold Palmer, and how did you guys meet?
Well, I'm Arnie's amigo. I call it Arnie's amigo. I met Arnie many years ago. I was just a caddy at Laurel Valley, and I saw him once when I was 15 years old during the PGA event there. But it was once I got to college, I joined Latrobe Country Club. I told my dad, I'm not going to go with Pitney Bowes or IBM or Merrill Lynch. I'll come back to the family business if I can get to meet Arnie and play at Latrobe Country Club. And, Danielle, I'm a little bit of a braggart. I was the youngest member ever that Arnold asked to be on the men's golf committee, which started probably about a 40-year relationship with the king, with a legend, a person that I idolized right to the time he passed away. So I was lucky to be up, you know, up close and personal.
Yeah.
Just to know him was a thrill.
Yeah. I totally understand what you're saying. I met him once. And there's something, he just embraced you know, without a big hug necessarily. There's just something about him that just, you just felt him. And he had a personality so big and so loving. And just such a wonderful person. I just, I'm a family planner. I want us all to be more like Army. All of us be Army's Army in treating people with kindness and dignity, just like he did. You know, he didn't shush us away. You know, I was just like overwhelmed to see him walking down the fairway. And I was like, wow. And he just picked up on our, you know, wow, and made us feel at home right there in the middle of the fairway.
Hey, Daniel, you're so right. The way it touched you and touched me and touched people over the decades that have come across him have inspired so much good across the world. And I've got to commend you. Your show, every time I listen to it, is so upbeat and optimistic, encourages people about the world of golf. When I hear Ben Crenshaw make that announcement early in the show, it makes me smile.
Yeah.
Because every year I get a check from Ben to renew his traditional membership. He's a collector, a historian, and yesterday, I was at the Sunny Hand Amateur watching all these young amateurs play golf. 1973, Ben Crenshaw won the Sunny Hand Amateur. these connections are all part of what's good about the Golf Heritage Society. Now, I want to share again, golfheritage.org. Any of your friends, if they listen and they get on the website, they'll get so much wonderful information that can benefit them. And with me being an ambassador, I encourage all these golfers or people that write about golf or artists or enjoy golf, design golf courses, to become part of our society because we're all encompassing no matter what interest in golf you have. And then they start becoming big contributors to our mission of spreading the good cheer of golf.
That's lovely. That's perfect. Golfheritage.org. That's when you're
going
online to find the Golf Heritage Society. Golfheritage.org. O-R-G.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect. And George Petro is our president. He helped do the complete renovation of the website in the last year and a half, making it easier for – see, I'm not that good with computers. I'm at the Sunny Indy Amateur, and these little 12-, 13-year-olds are running around having fun. They're helping with my phone find out who's leading, because a couple people want to follow.
Yes.
You know, the young kids are so good at it.
We're so clutching. I don't think I'm capable. My fingers are too big. That's my problem. So you have a quarterly journal that comes out. It's called The Golf.
Yeah, it is wonderful. It comes out quarterly. James Davis is their editor. And many of our folks, I should mention, are collectors. They collect a variety of things. Almost everyone that's a traditional member will collect our quarterly magazine because it's just a wonderful history, personal stories, so much fun to read. We just had a new one come out. And I want to share with all of your friends, I'm the ambassador. Anybody that joins our organization now is going to get a book by one of our members. His name is David Owen. The book is The Making of the Masters. Talk about Palmer and all the heroes in golf.
Yeah.
This book was written around 2004. It's priceless. Everyone's going to enjoy reading about Clifford Roberts, how Augusta started, the trials and tribulations to get it to be the success it is. Because now Augusta and the Masters, they give so much to women, to golf, to amateurs. But reading this book will open the eyes to many what challenges they had to do to make it happen. I think it'll be free. It'll be mailed directly from me to the new members.
Excellent. I got mine. So I totally recommend that you folks are listening. Just get in touch because you learn so much. And Golf Heritage Society, there are golf courses. These are mostly Eastern Coast. Oakmont Country Club, Cherry Hills Country Club, Baltraville Golf Course, Oscoto Country Club, Bayonne Golf Course, Colonial Country Club, Dalhousie Golf Club, Succession Golf Club, Olympia Fields Country Club, Columbia Country Club, Canterbury Golf Course, Shady Oaks Country Club, Worcester Country Club, and Braeburn Country Club. Now, what do all of these golf courses, country clubs, have to do with the Golf Heritage Society?
I'll tell you, you are savvy, Daniel, to pick up on that. This is our yearly bucket list auction, which ends tomorrow. Member for a day does it, so it's still live. Some of the ones are sold out already, but each one of those courses you mentioned have had a big event, a U.S. Open, a PGA, a big amateur event. They're renowned for their history. And many of them are sold out, but all of your listeners, they get on that golfheritage.org or go member for a day, they can bid on taking three people and playing with a member because they're very exclusive courses. And with many of them being sold out, like Oakmont sold out, Baldwin's Draw has openings, Scioto has openings, Succession, some of them, the prices are only $1,500, $2,200, $1,200. Of course, it could be bid up between now and tomorrow, but they bid on it, and they take three of their favorite friends, play with a member, experience the history of the golf course, and the proceeds benefit our mission of honoring the legacy of golf. So thank you for picking up that information. You're really savvy, Dan.
Well, let's keep up. you can be a member for a day if you would like to play one of those courses about supporting Golf Heritage Society. And there's also auctions, and Golf Heritage Society has lots of things for you to memory lanes. Go down them and enjoy. And John Rasmussen, Golf Heritage Society, thank you so much, Ambassador and Executive Representative, for being inside the clubhouse with us.
Thank you, Daniel. It was fun hearing Gary Williams, too. He inspires me, and Matt Adams. A lot of those influences are out there making golf even better for everyone. So let's keep doing our part and spread that good word.
Exactly. Aloha.
Aloha.
Aloha, yes. We're coming back with Ed Kagan. Victoria, Carlisle House. So much going on. Defending champion Tyler Lane set a course record capturing the 63rd Western Amateur Stroke Play Championship at Perla, Carlisle Isle. After this, my name is Danielle Tucker, and this is The Golf Club.
To the top finishers on the points list
throughout the season. So thank you to the Village Course at Waikoloa for being generous, gracious and generous hosts. Now, this is for the 13 to 18-year-olds, and this is what how it all came out, so to speak. The 2026 King Auto Group 13 to 18 state championship winners were boys 13 to 14, Robert Lowy of Kuna, boys 15 to 18, Jake Otani of Hino, girls 13 to 14, Cassidy Chin of Honolulu, and girls 15 to 18, Mia Nakaoka of Minamani. Congratulations to everybody who was in the tournament, and of course to the winners. Very well done. And now in 2026, Nota Begay, the third Junior Golf Regional Qualifiers, boys 13 to 14, Ivan Begon, and I'm sorry if I mispronounced your name, Blake Nakagawa, Alan Paiva, and Jason Uno. Then we have the boys 15 to 18, Austin Cookie, Drew Tom, Ethan Nakakatsu Kaza, and Taylor George. The girls 13 to 14, Cassidy Chen, Madison Sir, Lucy Chui, Amelia Silva. And then the girls 15 to 18, Samantha Monroe, Kira Uno, Brooke Asau, Mia Choi, and Maya Gillespie. Congratulations to all of you. And imagine, you know, and when Sino Kima was, just a little girl, 6 years old, she was out there working on her game with her dad. And moved up and up and up and up, and now she's head golf professional at Puerto Kalao. So awesome. You never know where kids will go with the game of golf. It's just a wonderful game. The age divisions, par and approximate yardage. So the boys 13 to 14, there was a par 72 blue tees. That's 6,602 yards. Boys 15 to 18, par 72 blue tees, also that's 6,602 yards. Girls 13 to 14, they also played on a par 72 from the gold tees, 5,691, just like the yardage for the girls 15 to 18, also par 72 from the gold tees. And just really great. There are so many different events happening in Hawaii all summer long. Sometimes these seem to happen in the winter, too. There's the 2026 King Auto Group 13 to 18 state championship on the Village Course at Waikoloa. And thank you all for anyone who volunteers their time to be a part of it with the kids. Aloha. We're going to come back right after this. Ed Kageyama is going to join us in the clubhouse.
Thank you.
we should play that one more time. Don't you agree with kids? Let's play that one more time. I think it's for adults, too.
Okay. Here we go. I'm nine now. I'm nine. I'm looking for help.
Junior start around 7 years old. I know Casey's program starts about 7 years old, and that's about a good age to start for kids. The key is having them to stay with the game when they start young. And so, you know, the focus of a lot of the instruction, and Casey does a really good job of it, is he blends, you know, instruction with having fun.
Oh, yeah.
And for the kids, it's all about social, right? So it's a group of friends that go and hang out, play golf, you know, and be on the golf course together. And that I think is what keeps them playing the game longer. And the ones that are successful later in high school and college and maybe beyond just really enjoy the game. And so you have to enjoy the game to be successful at it. And as long as you enjoy it, quote unquote, you will be successful. And so a lot of these kids, I think they just love playing the game. They love competing. They love being out there. And a lot of times, there are friends, so they're playing against their friends, and they just they enjoy it and have a really good time.
But as a competition, you know, it's friendly in their world, I think.
it's bragging rights, right? It's sort of like bragging rights with your friends, and because, you know, the 1 week maybe you win, but the next week someone else will win, and it's hard for people to win repeatedly over and over and over again, and that's what I think makes golf really one of the greatest sports, is that you know, it's, you have elements, you know, you have different, differing golf courses, all different kinds of situations, and the game itself is fickle. And so it's being able to be successful at it for a really long period of time, you know, proves that, you know, you're probably, you know, really on top of your game.
I was just looking at some of the numbers for the, let's see now, the 63rd Hawaii State Amateur Stroke Play. 63 years? When did this all start? Was this always at Puerto Kalao?
No, not all of them here. It rotates throughout the state.
Okay.
Yeah, it has rotated all the way, you know, around the state. So, yeah, not only at Pearl.
Okay. So that's where the State Amateur Stroke Play Championship at Pearl was played up. But there was 104 players.
And yeah, it was a really strong field. Yeah,
that's fantastic. And how many, I just want to, you know, kudos to the people who volunteered. You have volunteers to help with 104 players?
Yeah, there are some volunteers in the Hawaii State Golf Association staff. You know, the APTA's rules officials, the tournament management of the state amateur, and then our Pearl staff helped out. Our golf professional staff, you know, Sid Aquino, Nicole Sakamoto, Jeff Moore, and Lily Lant all helped out.
Well, you need help. I do 104. And the age, I think, was, I don't have that on the sheet here. I don't know what the age range was for this particular tournament.
Yeah. So there's three flights, the championship flight, the women's flight, and then the mid-am. And so the mid-am is I think, 25 and up. And so you could have, you know, people playing, you know, like I think Joe P., who won last year, you know, he's I think around my age, that young. But then you got some high school players that are playing in the championship flight, and so the age range is pretty wide. And the women's had some high school players, college players. So you know, it's all really good local players.
Yeah. That was something. Do you allow people to go and you know, follow along in groups, or stay at a hole and kind of watch the players coming through? Is that possible?
Yeah. Some people did that. Some people walked along, like family or friends of individual players, kind of walk along, or just some people just kind of, you know, sat and watch groups go through. But yeah, it's a great way to play spend the weekend, watch some really good golf.
Yeah, so watch really good golf and learn something. You know, I mean, sometimes watching helps you understand what you should be doing yourself. And I was just, you know, Tyler Lowry of Kula, the dramatic final round comeback to successfully defend his title. Did you see that?
Yeah, well, I didn't see it, but I followed it. I was actually on the mainland while they were playing. But Tyler won. He's defending champion. He won last year. And I think he just plays the new renovated Pearl just really well. I think he plays it really smart. He doesn't take unnecessary chances that it doesn't need to. He puts the ball where it needs to be. And he played really steady the first 3 days, shooting 74 each day.
Wow.
Was six shots back of Joshua Hayashida, who played really well, shot 71, 67, round one, round two, but, you know, had a little hiccup on 78 in the round three, but still had a six-shot lead. But and Joshua finished one under par in the last round, so he didn't play bad. But Tyler, you just got to give credit to Tyler that he – you know, he posted us 8-under 64 on a golf course that isn't necessarily, you know, really easy. So, you know, he did what he needed to do, and he did a really good job.
And I love that. Can we digress just a second here? You said the course is different than it was before the renovation, Puerto Kalao Island?
Yeah, so the Pearl, you know, Pearl Country Club was built in the mid-60s, and the design standards, you know, in the 60s, even construction standards in the 60s was very different from what it is now. And a lot of what was here at Pearl was some of the original parts of it, of the golf course, especially the green construction, some of the irrigation. A lot of that was dated and just needed to be brought up to more of a current standard. As far as the design of the golf course, we really worked more on the green complexes themselves, yeah. The bunkering, the surrounds around the greens and the green surfaces themselves, and also the construction of the greens and how it's constructed, mm-hmm. brought it more back up to standards for today. The routing of the holes, then we really couldn't change that footprint because we're kind of confined with what we had, but. The golf course, the defense of the golf course is really around the greens, and it actually, by design, some people find it more difficult, but by design, you actually have more playing options than before. And so it opens up more creativity and more uses of different clubs around the greens than prior.
Far out. Yeah, I've got to come up, and I haven't seen it since the renovation. Now, going back to the defending champion, Tyler Lay, who set a course record capturing the 63rd Hawaii State Amateur Stroke Play Championship at Lola Kalaau. This win takes him back to the 120, well, it wasn't the 126th, but now it is, U.S. Amateur Championship. So he's going to go to the mainland?
Yeah, so he goes to both of them. The men's will be played in Pennsylvania.
Wow.
Yes, and so he gets a ticket straight into the USM.
And the women.
And then the women, Ava Cepeda on the women's side gets straight into the U.S. Women's AM.
Far out. And so I'm stumbling along here because I'm not sure if I'm making an uncomfortable question here. Are the tickets paid for? Is that part of the deal?
Not the airfare, not the travel part, but they get their golden ticket into the tournament, which is a coveted, coveted ticket. You know, the prior winners are people might have heard of, like Tiger Woods. You know, so it's a big deal. Yeah, it's really fortunate. They both played their way in, and they both earned their spot. And we wish the best of luck to them.
Absolutely. It's such a wonderful, wonderful accomplishment, And when you put down the big bear, Tiger Woods. that was perfect. And Kaguyama, it's wonderful talking with you, and I'm sure I'm leaving something out that you may have wanted to talk about. Have I?
No, it's good. I mean, we can talk all day if we had the time, but we're it's a good summer season's coming up, and we're excited for it, and a lot of tournament play coming up, and long days, early mornings, later evenings, so you can get a lot of golf in now during the summer.
Okay. Yeah, finally, I do have to ask you because I don't even know if I'm pronouncing this name or this word right. In addition to coaching at Punahou, Kaguyama is a principal-less activator.
Activator. Yeah, it's a software development, and we were in the golf space and kind of expanded into general activities, but it's a activities and golf booking engine.
Okay.
Yeah, and so. Yeah, with local partners, and they're doing a great job with it.
Excellent. The Hawaii Golf Experience, the Hawaii Golf Advisors. You've just done so much, and you've been to so many different golf courses. And I'm excited to come up to Puella Kalaau in the near future. Thank you, Ed.
Thank you, Danielle. You're welcome here anytime.
Thanks. Aloha. We're going to come back right after this. I think Michael Patrick Schmitz is standing by. No, he's waved off. He said, next time, hasta la vista. Baby, we'll be back after this. My name is Daniel Tucker. This is the Golf Club. Thank you.
swim from DuPont Golf Driving Range, located in Iowa. Stop by to warm up before your round, or wind down after work and hit a few balls. Enjoy great food from our popular Newtown Cafe, and check out the Assad Golf Shop for the most up-to-date golf equipment and club repairs. The Newtown Driving Range, operated by the Casey and Acoma Golf Group. Good golf, good food, and good fun. Would you call when your home appliance isn't working? Pacific Repair Services. Pacific Repair Services, located at 540 McGoon Drive, across from J.O. Motors. PRS does repairs, maintenance, and sales. Call us at 808-726-4080 or find us on the web at prscares.com. We fix, maintain, and sell refrigerators, stoves, microwaves, and dishwashers at fabulous prices. Rely on Pacific Repair Services. Your home appliances have to work.
Watch this weekend will be the U.S. Open. And so how are they doing? Well, not much has changed, actually. You know, with Wyndham Clark, he hasn't even teed off yet. So he's still 7-under. Then we have Matthew Fitzpatrick, also hasn't teed off yet, but 3-under, just like Xander Schauffele and Stevens, Samuel, as well as Tom Kim. So all of them are still hanging out and waiting to tee off. In fact, so is Colin Morikawa and Justin Thomas and Higgs, as well as Burns and Tagala. So all of those guys are still waiting to get on the dance floor. And time for 11th, we've got a couple of interesting people in there. It's going to be fun. Tommy Fleetwood. It's going to be interesting to see how Gary Woodland, Rory McIlroy, they're on the course, certainly, even. She's not going to give it up. You know, that's all there is to it. I just made the golf course a she. Do you think they're going to get upset with me? Probably. All right, now there's some tee times for you. I can't get in trouble here. Volcano Golf Club, there's a 10:48. McIlroy has a 10:36. And the Bluebirds are on the golf course. And then you all hit the sweet spot every time. Bluebirds and everybody there. All right, on Kauai, there is a 9:50 at Pro Pro, a 10:30 at Pro Pro, and a noon. We've also got Kauai Lagoons as an 8:30 and a 10:10. Hey, the gamblers are on the course. Watch out. Hey, gamblers, remember I hit the sweet spot every time. The Sandballers, they're out at Turtle Bay, and there's a 9:32 and a 10:52 if you'd like to go to Turtle Bay. Beautiful, gorgeous views. Puerto Canal, I'm looking at the different parts. So if you're up at Turtle Bay, you're looking north. If you're at Puerto Kalalau, you're looking south. There's a 9:42 at Pearl. There's also a Red Hawaiian Country Club, a 9:30 and a 10:08. We have a Bayview, a 9:10 and an 11 o'clock. And then let's go to Maui. Yeah. Gold Course, 9:26, 10:08. Emerald, 9:28. And the Blue Course has a 9:08. And then at Maui Nui, we've got a 9:22. Is it possible that I'm running out of time? All right, yes, I'm running out of time. It's time for Danielle to just about close it up here. But just so you know, today is going to be partly cloudy outside of showers. Just a little bit at night. Some weather rise during the day. High today about 89, at least it's not in the 90s. Eastern 10 to 15, I'm always looking for the best possible outcomes. And so, I want to wish all of you guys a happy Father's Day. I bet you thought I'd never get there. Mom, thank you so much for reminding me. She put the big sign up, and she's waving it. Happy Father's Day. Don't forget, it's Father's Day. Do something for Dad, okay? I'm doing something for my mom, but that's a completely different ballgame because mom's not with us anymore. Welcome to the Newtown Driving Range. Thank you for warming up before the round or winding down after work. The Newtown Range, operated by the Casey McCormick Golf Group. It's good golf, good food, and good fun. All Omaha Power. Work smarter, faster, easier with our Honda generators, our water pumps, chainsaws, welding, and locking motors, and they'll be all yours. You just got to go to Omaha Power Equipment. They've got weed whackers and so much more. Get yours today. Omaha Power Equipment. Open Monday through Saturday, EVA, next to the Costco gas station, and in Waipahu. And then we've got the Omaha Section PGA. You got to teach your children to play golf. You know, they learn honesty and a whole lot more, okay? How to be friends, how not to, you know, yell and do. When I was, what did she say? When I was five, I did a whole bunch of stuff I shouldn't have. I'm six now, and I stopped doing that. All right, Claude Rousseau, Master PGA Teaching Professional at Wailea Golf Academy, Wailea Maui, great teaching professional. And, of course, the other section, PGA, teach your children to play golf. It's a gift to us forever, for self, for health, for friendship, for family. That's right, go golf. Thank you for your money, and may you hit the sweet spot every time. My name is Danielle Tucker, and this is the Golf Club. Right, 2020.